Oh, wait, are we starting?
Yeah, we've started.
Oh, so Jack, I heard you tried to murder my roommate.
Yes, I did, actually. It wasn't my fault. Apparently, your roommate's kryptonite is actually just straight heat, which I was unaware of. And we went for a hike, and we were planning on doing a 16-mile hike. And
16 miles? Fuck that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we had to work up to it. We started with, like, 2-mile hikes, and we worked up to it, and we can easily do 9 miles and have barely break a sweat, except for this last time. And, so your roommate, Chuck, he's standing right behind me.
I also like how you compare him to Superman.
It's also very true. It's very
true. What, that you're Superman?
No, that I got busted. My ass busted off on Saturday, man.
We went hiking, and like in the early morning, we started around 7:30 and just realized, you know, it wasn't that hot. We were booking it. We like hiked.
It wasn't that hot, dude. When I leave for work at 7 a.m., it was consistently 78 degrees.
It's not that hot.
No, but what time is it 7:30 in the beating sun?
Well, it wasn't. We were up in the Palisades. The sun wasn't out yet. It was still overcast, and it wasn't that hot. We were in the. We went through a canyon first, how we started, and there was no. It was a canyon we hadn't been in. We had gone from Temescal basically to Will Rogers State Park, and we were just booking it, dude. Like, we hiked probably 3 miles in easily 45 minutes, and we were cruising, and we got to Will Rogers State Park, and the sun came out, and Chuck. Chuck started slowing down. I was like, what's going on? And he looked back, and he's wearing dark clothes. So I can't tell how much he is sweating. Okay. I'm, like, trying to give him electrolytes. Like, Chuck, here's a bottle of electrolytes. Just dump some in your water. And he's like, no. I'm going to put it in my coffee. And I was like, okay.
Like a man.
And then, like, 2 minutes later, I'm like, do you drink the coffee? He's like, oh, I had 2 sips, and I put it away.
It was too hot.
It's too hot, I guess.
I couldn't drink coffee on a hike.
Oh, before, Chuck does because he's a man, and
that's how that works.
Yeah, and we got halfway up Will Rogers to the bridge, which I'm sure neither of you know what that is. And
the bridge? That's literally the only point me and Anthony hiked to, except for that one time that he.
No. This is Will Rogers, not Temescal.
This is not the same place.
No, not the same place. No.
Not the same. Speaking of same,
but different.
No, just same.
It's just same.
Thing. I had a client say that to me today.
No way.
Yeah, out of nowhere. He was like, oh, yeah, same. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And his family is probably from Asia, I would assume, since he's Asian.
That quote is from a white dude.
No, but the saying.
Mocking Asians.
Yeah, no, but the saying is from Thailand.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, that's where it's from.
I thought it was from,
you know, same.
The interview.
No, Zach, your understanding of culture has to progress farther than
television,
comedy movies.
I don't think that's my impression of culture. I think that's my, if anything, cinema.
I said understanding of culture. If your understanding of culture is basically from cinema, that's not a good thing.
You just took two different sentences and assuaged them.
To make a valid point.
All right, so at what point on the hike did you push Chuck to where he broke his ankle?
Oh, God. So here's the thing. We made it halfway up the bridge at Will Rogers, which is actually a much cooler bridge than the one at Temescal, which I think you two could probably make it. It's actually an easier hike.
Don't shame Temescal.
I'm not shaming Temescal. We were going to end up back on Temescal. We were going to start at Temescal, go to Will Rogers, up and around, all the way to Hub Junction, and then back. And we were halfway up Will Rogers, and Chuck's like, dude, just go before me. Just go before me. I was like, okay, that's weird. And I like hike up to a flat spot. And then Chuck slowly comes up. He's like, dude, we got to turn around. We got to turn around, dude. And I was like, you okay? He's like, I'm fucking lightheaded. And I was like, all right. So we immediately turned around. And that's when I noticed, because I have a walker track on my phone. And I realized we had been hiking. We had already hiked about 5 miles without taking any break whatsoever. Like no water breaks, no food breaks.
Nice.
And usually we take a break probably at least once a mile, once every other mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where we just take a break and sit down and relax. Yeah. We had just booked it, and, it had gone from like 78 degrees to about 100 degrees very quickly. And the thing about me is I thrive in the heat.
You were raised in the heat.
I was raised in the heat. So, like, anytime it's, like, 100 degrees and I'm hiking, I'm outside, like, I'm totally fine.
See, you got to take humidity into consideration.
It wasn't even that humid, dude.
Dude.
Listen, you're talking to somebody who grew up in the South and then lived in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
All right. The humidity here was there, but it was nothing.
Look, I was at a baby shower in 100-degree weather.
Baby humidity.
In a dry humidity, and I was fine. But, like, the mild humidity that we have here murders me.
Mm-hmm. I thrive in humidity. I love humidity.
You don't, can I get a sweat?
No, I sweat. I'm like, it's like a nice, like, warm blanket. Right?
It doesn't deplete you of everything you need to live.
Anthony, can I get a 2/3 here on the humidity?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been to Charleston, South Carolina in July and December. And in July, I don't ever want to go back. And in December, it was 32 degrees, and it was the best vacation I've ever had. Like,
well, here's the thing. I remember the first time I moved to Los Angeles, right? Remember, I grew up in humidity my entire life. I was 19 years old. I got off the plane in Los Angeles, and I was reaching for the air because I had never been in not humidity before. I was
that
like,
when you got kicked off the plane naked?
No, that happened a couple years later.
Oh, damn it.
That was 2 years later. And so what happened was, is like our first week, a couple of the seniors at LMU invited us to go hiking. It was part of the honors program. That was so fucking stupid to join that. And a couple of the honors seniors invited us to hike the Temescal Loop. And it was probably like 85, 90 degrees. We get to the top of that. We get to the top of the loop. I'm looking around. Everybody's sweating bullets. I had not sweat one drop.
I hate you.
I mean, I was just used to humidity,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
I don't like it when the air feels like soup. Like, that is...
I love that.
That's just the worst feeling.
I love that.
Can you please show Anthony the picture?
Oh, have you not seen the photo?
Of the bench?
The bench.
One part of the bench was spotless, and the other one was darker brown.
Yeah,
than
so in 100-degree weather, Chuck and I sat on a bench. And this is after we decided to turn around. It was the first time we took a break, and we had
hiked... We'll post this picture on our Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, I think hiked, like, 6 miles at this point. And we sat down for about 10 minutes. We get up, and Chuck... Like, the bench had completely changed colors. Or Chuck, there was a barely...
From top to bottom.
Yeah.
Dude, when you first showed me the picture, I didn't realize there was a second seat mark.
Yeah, my seat mark was barely noticeable.
I couldn't even see his seat mark. It was like, yeah. It didn't even show up to the naked eye. It only showed up on camera.
Yeah, you gotta look.
Yeah, but I'm a humidity freak, I guess.
I think
must be nice.
But it absolutely drains me like a battery. Just like,
a quick battery. Like,
and like the sun in the heat, just done for.
The last 3 miles we had to hike.
Yeah.
Back through the canyon, which we did in like 45 minutes, took us like an hour and a half coming back. Like, we had to stop like every 15, 20 feet.
Yeah.
And if there was a patch of shade, didn't matter how big or small it was.
Just bent over.
Hands on knees, just...
panting,
hating himself. And I was like, damn. And the bad part was, before I told him that story, I told him a story on the trail before he like really started getting like terrible. When we got to Will Rogers, by the way, Will Rogers is a very, very easy hike. It's not
no,
very
it was
steep.
The heat that was the issue.
It was the heat that was the issue. But I told him I had taken a client there once, a private client, and he was super high on opiates. And
okay.
We had stopped literally every 15 feet because this kid was so high. And then Chuck had to do the exact same thing. It was the exact same situation. But the scary part was, is on our last mile, we were coming down these steps back into Temescal, and like I just hear this, ah! And I was like, oh, fuck. And I turn around, and Chuck's holding his ankle. And I was like, oh, fuck. Did you just roll your ankle? He was behind me.
Sure.
It was a pool.
Now,
all of a sudden, mics are on. Jack's not going to say how he pushed Chuck down the hill.
Yeah, I never declared I pushed Chuck down the hill.
You never declared you didn't either.
But the point
True,
being,
facts.
Point being, is Chuck very quickly just goes, if I sit down for any longer, it's going to swell. So we need to keep going. And I was like, God damn it, I love that you're a former Marine in this moment.
Welcome back to another episode of What Dad Podcast, bringing you the meeting after the meeting every week. Our mission is to bring you, the listener, Blake, questionable entertainment and talk about whatever the hell we want.
You're supposed to say your name first, idiot. I'm Jack.
I'm Zach.
Oh, shit.
You fucking moron.
Anyways, I'm Jack.
I'm Zach.
I'm Anthony.
That's the best one yet.
We can edit around it, dude.
Don't right. Leave it. He forgot to say his name. We talked to each other four times.
Breathe, Zach.
Oh my god.
Breathe, dude, breathe.
Oh my
I was
god.
Really confused when you said my name, Zach. I was like, no, you go first.
Oh my god, that was great.
All right, so apparently I go first, and Zach goes second, Anthony goes third. All right.
Woo! I think I found our first skit.
Yeah. All right.
You know, sometimes when you guys talk about your wives and like how you're basically, how Jack is basically dating Anthony and Anthony, or wait, how do you... make the comparison?
We're dating each other.
Yeah.
We've married each other.
You married each other because he's like Kara and you're like Kirsten. I imagine you two dating and them two dating in my head sometimes. Like two gay couples.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I just wanted to catch up on Chuck. what were our questions that we got emailed to us this week?
So
from our fearless producer.
So Sean from Gary, Indiana.
Gary,
Indiana.
Wow.
Hey, like Parks and Rec.
That's more no.
Pawnee.
Yeah, but they make fun of Gary.
Oh,
Indiana.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone yeah. makes fun of Gary.
But yeah, it was because it was in a musical.
You're in a musical.
There's a whole number called Gary, Indiana.
Is there really?
Yeah.
I don't know musicals.
So, Zach, I'm going to go back to my point of your understanding of culture being more than just comedies.
Look, I would really like to make a sexist joke right here about why I don't watch musicals, but they're just so uninteresting.
Except for the South
Thank
Park
you,
movie.
Thank you, Chuck.
That was a good musical.
I don't know why I said it like that, but...
What musicals have you seen? I'm just curious. Like, I'm not a huge musical fan, and my wife is a huge musical fan. Actually, Anthony, are you a huge musical fan?
No, I only like the South Park movie.
Oh, okay.
Certainly. And I mean,
actually, the creators of South Park are huge musical fans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've seen Fiddler on the Roof when I was like a kid because I'm
trying
Jewish.
To fiddle?
And, what?
What?
What'd you say?
Are you trying to fiddle?
The marathon?
You saw Fiddler on the Roof, which I've never seen.
Isn't that a musical?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I feel like most Jews have seen that one.
Isn't that, I feel like that's a depressing musical.
What makes you say that?
What's it about?
Both of you, actually. I don't know. You're the one who's seen
it. Oh, I haven't seen it in forever. It was like when I was a kid and my mom made me see it for
if
one reason.
If only there were some way to access all of Google. Human knowledge.
Google? What does Google say about Fiddler on the Roof?
Well,
Isn't it
based
about, like, the
on...
Great Depression?
It's based on...
I think it's more... No, it has to...
Tevi and His Daughters by Sholem Aleichem. I don't know, but it's...
Sholem Aleichem?
Yes. And it centers on Tevi, the father of five daughters, and his attempts to maintain his Jewish religious and cultural traditions as outside influences encroach upon the family's lives.
And I've seen that, apparently.
You're as bad about musicals as you are about Hanukkah songs.
You know, oh.
Although, I gotta say, I love listening to you try and read phonetically spelled Hebrew.
Yeah, I
phonetically spelled Hebrew.
Oh, there's no way he's going to read Hebrew.
Right. So the point being, so actually, Zach, does your dyslexia come into play with Hebrew?
You know what? It's all basically art and squiggles to me, so like, not really.
Can you read it?
That's an interesting question, though.
No, I mean, I can tell you what some letters are. There's a lot less letters than I remember, I think.
I think that's an interesting question, though. Does dyslexia affect non, sort of alphabetic character systems?
Hmm. That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is, like, I can read a paragraph if every letter in the word is spelled incorrectly for every word in the paragraph, as long as the first and last one are in the right order.
I think that's a fairly common phenomenon. Yeah,
but like, I can't read Hebrew, but I wonder if it would work with that.
Ah, interesting. My sister-in-law is
Are there any linguists dyslexic. Out there?
Lesdexic?
Dyslexic.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. And we've been doing these every other week. My wife's family and, like, it's my wife and I, her parents, and then my sister-in-law and her boyfriend. And we've been doing these, like, murder mystery things where, I mean, they're just, I mean, Kara's going to listen to this later, but they're just awful. Like, we're doing them on Zoom. We're doing them on Zoom, and, like,
you know your wife listens to this podcast.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I just said that.
She seemed to think it was okay, too.
Yeah, and she thought, I'll get into that in a minute. But we read these things where, like, the mom, her mother buys these, like, murder mystery, like, it's like a game you can play once, right? Like, it comes with a book, and you have to, like, read the whole book, and it comes with clues, and you have to decipher from the story you're given and the clues you're given. Like
the Hardy Boys?
Yes.
That's what? At least a book.
Like
from
the Hardy.
Understand for your
yeah, but like in the Hardy Boys, it's like they solve the mystery, right?
Okay.
And like you are the one. You are the Hardy Boys in this scenario, right?
Okay.
We've done three of them, and they're so boring and bad because, like, somebody's reading on Zoom.
Yeah.
And like we are trying to pay attention, and like I can't pay attention to where shit if I can't see what I'm supposed to be paying attention to. So I sit there for 2.5 hours. Twiddling my thumbs and just staring at the screen because I cannot concentrate on what is going on in the story because I don't have the book in front of me. I'm not in the same room as somebody looking at them. It's on Zoom. And it's so bad.
So then how do you know what to say when, like, she's done reading? Like, what? Like, you just sit there. You're like, oh, thanks for
the husband.
I look at Kara's notes and I say, what about this character?
Kara takes notes?
And, yeah.
So she's
my,
into
my
it.
Wife is an Al-Anon, dude. Of course she takes notes. And if you ever go to an Al-Anon meeting, watch how many people take notes. It's hilarious.
I don't even read my own notes.
I can't even.
You don't
read
even
my own
do
notes.
Your notes. You very proudly
sure
come back
notes.
Home from work and you're like, I didn't do notes today. So hopefully none of your bosses are listening to this.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, but like not my sorry. Sister-in-law is dyslexic, and it was her turn to read the entire book, and the books are like 70 pages. They're like short novellas.
Wait, basically. Hold on. You're sitting there for 70 pages worth of reading?
Yeah, it's bad. I read the first. I read
God,
the second one.
You must really love your wife.
Quarantine is just really, really boring.
And this is a perfect time for you to say, yes, I love my wife.
Yes, I love my wife.
I shouldn't have had to feed that to you.
We Kara, can make I love it sound you very organic much. In post.
But the point being is, like, she's dyslexic, and I was very curious, like, the first 20 minutes to see if she would, like, read like you do and just make up words that really aren't there.
Well, hold on. I don't – okay, I sometimes make up words, but, like – fuck off.
Janine assuaged her.
I mean, like,
work.
When I ask you to read, like, how it works or something in a meeting.
Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed.
So you've just memorized it at this point?
I mean, that first, like, what, 10 words?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen you do, you've probably seen it so many times and heard it so many times, it's not.
Give me something to read. I'll read something right now.
That's going to make for great podcasting.
Is it really? Or are you
no,
being
no.
sarcastic?
God created
oh,
the
God.
Integers. Is that Richard Stephen Hawking?
Hawking.
Where do you find this shit? God damn it.
In your house.
Here we go. But the point being is she read beautifully, and I was like, why can't Zach do that?
Read beautifully?
Yeah.
I
so, Zach, you have to hold the mic.
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to get the fucking book open. Yeah, there's definitely words in here I don't know.
just replace them as you
this
always do.
This is math.
You're good at math.
You're good at math. You said you were good at
that
math.
That has nothing to do with reading. Hold on. Let's go to the preamble.
When in the course of human events.
9 3/4.
When in the possible exception of Isaac Newton, Euclid.
Euclid?
Euclid. I hate you guys so much. Why did I agree to this? Euclid is the best known mathematician of all times. Until sometime in the
20th... Euclid is not a person. I'm just fucking with you. Just how you read it.
Until sometime in the 20th century, his one and only surviving work, The Element, was the second best-selling book of all time, surpassed only by the Bible. I didn't know that. That's a good fact. Yet there's no reason to believe that Euclid was anything other than a compiler.
Compiler?
I think we made our point. And to be honest, to be fair, the murder mysteries are a little bit easier of a read.
Euclid. Than Stephen Hawking.
Than Stephen Hawking. So,
fuck Stephen Hawking on so many levels.
Anyways.
R.I.P.
But he died?
He died like 4 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Nerd. Fuck. I stand by what I said.
Anyways. Like she, I don't know, this just her trying, I mean, she's a lawyer, basically. She has to take the bar. So are there different levels of dyslexia? Is it
a
spectrum?
There's different, I mean, everything's a spectrum these days. My sister has Down syndrome and she's fucking awesome, but like she's so high functioning that like she can't be placed into like a communal living situation. You know what I mean?
Does she just live at home?
Yeah, she lives with her mom.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually saw her this past weekend. She was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Was that the time? Is that what she said?
No, it wasn't. And I'm
we don't have to go there.
She consistently says things that are inappropriate and hilarious. She's been talking about getting married and having kids since she was like 6 years old.
She has a boyfriend, right?
Yeah, she has a boyfriend. And
they bang?
It would be... I hate this conversation.
Yes or no? Like,
it would be ignorant to me to think that she hasn't looked up what sex is on the internet and tried it herself. But getting down the actual mechanics of it, I doubt that she's actually done it.
Hmm.
She's just in love with love.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
It just warms your heart, doesn't it?
She's
not trying to be a dick here.
Really. She's awesome. I love my sister, okay, Jackie. Right. She's cool.
Yeah, I'm not trying to throw gas on fire.
All right. Not trying to talk about Down syndrome too much, but yes, everything has spectrums like that.
Gotcha.
But back to the game thing. I actually, the other night, so I've been getting really comfortable with the notes in my phone. And in the middle of the night, I had this idea and I had to write it down and I looked at it the next day. You know how like games like Cards Against Humanity are super popular?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought of a game.
Oh, let's hear it.
Patent pending.
Patent pending. All right, what do you got?
Welcome to Rehab.
That could work.
Yeah. Think of all the dumb questions everyone asks the new guy when they walk in. What's your drug of choice? Where are you from? Like, could you imagine playing that with like a group of people that you don't know?
Well, what are the mechanics of the game? Is it like Cards Against Humanity or is it?
So I was watching
like overdosed on fentanyl. You know,
like. I mean, I haven't really thought this through very well, but I mean, like, you know, the 10 finger game where you put a finger down if you've done that.
Never and, have I ever.
Yeah, that shit. Yes. Or you know, they're cards that you have, and like if you, I don't know. I need to think of the mechanics, but I figure there's a lot of really good questions in there because like conversations that you have in early sobriety and treatment get very detailed, get very gory, get very egotistical, and also very sexual. So it like has a bunch of those things that like put people on the edge of their seat and enjoy.
Bunch of taboo subjects.
Yeah.
Taboo is already a game that we can't use.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. No, but like Rehab Edition, like, you know, what's the dirtiest fast food restaurant you ever shot dope in?
But Anthony was just a drinker.
Exactly.
Just a hope
so
to
have
die
to pick
a drinker.
Up a car.
So he'd be like, "Wow, I'm not as cool as the other people. Maybe I'm not really an alcoholic."
No, we've
and
been
I'll
over
just,
that. We've
I'll
over
ATA
this.
And just we've, drink we've, some more and be
we've,
sad.
We've been over this. I mostly smoked weed, so Zach thinks less of me as an addict.
I never
you,
outright.
No, you 100% caught it.
I don't want to admit that I may have outright said that.
I know. I listened back to all of these.
Yeah, but you know what? I've seen you do some really alcoholic things.
Like what?
Have you ever seen him get hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're having an existential crisis, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm... I get hungry at a certain point. I get manic, then I get angry, and then I stop working.
And then I get even. No,
I'm physically incapable of getting even at that point.
Do you remember when he quit nicotine for like a week?
I feel like he's done this every other month for the last 2 years.
I've only picked nicotine back up like 10 months ago.
Yes, but like I feel like...
Yeah, I've definitely done it twice.
Yeah, I feel like this is a recurring theme in your life.
Definitely done it twice. That was why this time when I felt like doing it again, I just didn't. I was like, oh, maybe I should quit vaping. Nah.
What would you tell a newcomer who asked if they said, like, hey, should I quit smoking?
No, I would say don't do that at the beginning.
Yeah, I totally lived on that cop-out for the entire year. And then I got my year, and I'm like, and my mom's like, when are you going to quit smoking cigarettes? I'm like, Mom, you're not supposed to quit smoking cigarettes your first 2 years. It's like, you know, I need this crutch right now.
You're not supposed to quit vaping your first 9 years.
See, that's what my sponsor told me. I remember I quit smoking. I never vaped. I never liked vaping. They didn't have the little Juul pods when I got sober.
They didn't have nicotine salts. I hate to break it to you.
I've been Juuling for like 6 or 7 years, so they definitely had Juul pods when
they didn't have
sober.
Juul pods back then.
Yes, they did.
No, all they had. What was popular? Okay, because you were just straight up trapping 7 years ago, and
look,
you hated yourself.
I don't give a. First off, never trapped. Not a day in my life.
You were sitting right there in that seat where you are now, talking about how you straight up trapped once, and I was sitting right over here
in this apartment that I've only lived at for maybe 6 months.
This was before you moved here. You were definitely here a lot before you lived here.
Yes, you lived here like 3 days a week.
Semantics. Can someone please look up when Juul
became a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It may
have been invented, but what was popular 6.5 years ago.
I just want to prove Jack wrong.
What was popular
were
the giant metallic and phallic vapes, okay, that were like 10 inches long.
Yeah, no.
And they like made the sound like.
So I have the one that looks like when you hold it, it looks like you're making like you're palming a softball.
Yeah.
Not the one that kind of looks like.
Founded May 22nd, 2015.
Boom.
I got sober 2014, January.
Fuck. No, what they did was they changed the... What became popular was they went from like having these juices with nicotine that didn't do a whole lot to what they are now called nicotine salts, which are as close to a cigarette as anything as I've come.
A cigarette
is
100,000 times better than a
and
fucking
that's why
vape.
I
still miss Juul
Gang. That's why I rep Juul Gang 24/7. Follow me on Instagram. You know I keep that thing on me. Bruh.
Anyways, I decided to quit cigarettes because real men smoke cigarettes. And
wow,
yeah, real men smoke cigarettes.
Okay, John Wayne,
we're gonna 2/3 you on that one as we both simultaneously hit our vapes.
You didn't vape. You didn't hit your vape, Anthony. Dude, you just showed
never
up, Zach.
Known
dude,
that.
You just showed all up, all
right,
Zach.
Right now.
Too late. It's too late. The world already knows he didn't do it.
Nope, we got it that time. We can edit that out.
The magic of post.
The magic of post.
Anyway, so
edit in post. And so it is said. And so it is done. I'm in.
So real men smoke cigarettes. And I was sitting there.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah. Anthony was a real man.
Dude, his fucking mustache. If him and Ron Swanson could have a mustache off, who do you think would win?
Didn't they already kind of do that with...
Did they really?
Their creator, the episode where... They were on the same episode of Parks and Rec.
Oh, my God. I love that episode, except for the fact that Sam Elliott was a huge hippie in it. And I really just wanted... What?
That was the joke of it.
Yeah, but I really just wanted Al Gore to come out. Not Al Gore. I really just wanted Nixon to come out and slap him.
Nixon?
Richard Nixon?
Richard Nixon? The guy who...
Who's been dead since 94?
And ashamed the office, so he had to, like... resign as president?
Who got busted trying to steal secrets against the opposing campaign that he in an election he won by a landslide?
All right, so clearly Zach is bad at making jokes today. Thank you, guys.
Why Nixon?
Isn't he the guy that says, I smell hippies?
Like from Futurama?
Are you thinking of Robot Nixon?
Again, Zach, your understanding of culture has to be larger than comedies.
So I remember this one time I was smoking weed with my brother.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Futurama.
Only all of it?
Yeah, I've seen all of
except
it.
Except for Jurassic Bark.
So
fuck
I
that
got
episode.
So high.
So sad.
On
so
the episode sad. When Fry has to go to the robot loony bin.
Oh, that's a great episode where they do the...
And he gets in the little...
One Flew Over Cuckoo's Nest thing. Yeah,
yeah, he got in the isolated room with that one robot, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Bob. I'm a robot," or whatever. And Fry goes, "Hi, I'm actually a human." And he goes, "What?" And he just head explodes.
Yes.
My brother replayed that for over an hour as I cried and pissed myself. I was so high laughing at
I have a similar story. So, like, my buddy and I got super stoned when we were in high school once, and we were watching an episode of South Park that was making – that did a spoof on Great Expectations and had the character Pip. Before, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but before Butters was a main character, they had Pip, who was the little British boy.
Yes. I remember Pip.
And they did an episode about Great Expectations, and Pip goes to, like, his aunt and uncle's house or something, and – they just do the absolute worst, over-the-top, stereotypical, like, Cockney accents. And, like, it's just unintelligible, right? And my buddy and I just, we could not stop laughing for an hour.
Yeah.
Like, we kept replaying it and replaying it. And we were, like, crying.
Like, yeah.
Because it was so fucking funny. And to this day, if I ever see that episode, I still laugh really hard, even though it's it'll never be as funny.
Yeah.
See, I can't watch that episode and laugh again. But I did learn something about Cockney accents. Is that so? What's the country?
England.
England, yes. So not everyone in England has a Cockney accent. It's only the people that live near the Big Ben. Great Ben? What's it called?
Big Ben.
Clock?
Big Ben.
Big Ben? Yeah. It's people that can live within eyesight of Big Ben have the Cockney accent.
Oh.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Great Britain has like 19 different accents.
So does America. We got a shit ton of accents.
Yeah, but none of them are quite so distinct.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
The South.
The South?
The South.
New York?
Yeah. Can I have a hot dog and some water?
Water.
Water.
It doesn't sound as refined.
That doesn't even have a Cockney accent.
No, Cockney accent doesn't. But
like,
oh my God. Schittsburg? You ever heard a Pittsburgh accent?
No.
No.
So trashy, dude.
Philly's pretty bad.
Dude, my friend Mark does it so good, but like he was at a bar, and like I guess he'd already hooked up with one girl, and the girl that he had hooked up with was trying to get him laid by some other girl. And so the girl looks at the other girl and goes, "Oh yeah, he fucked me real good. You should fuck him too." And I can't do the accent, but it was
that turned kind of Irish-Scottish.
Yeah, I thought that was a little Australian there.
I can't do the trashy Pittsburgh accent, but it was so funny.
But if it sounded all like you said it would. Like,
Boston?
Like
we got a great Boston accent.
Their women are hideous.
I don't know. I don't know many Boston women.
Never been to Boston. Never been to
exactly.
England.
Point proven.
That proves nothing.
Oh my God, dude. I think Mark Wahlberg does a good bit on that in Ted, and it's hilarious. On how Boston
Mark Wahlberg is a
again for the fourth time in this podcast. Your understanding of culture needs to be greater than comedies.
Mark Wahlberg is a professional Boston guy.
I have a great understanding.
Yeah,
of culture.
Your Schittsburg accent was Irish, Scottish, and Australian. Okay, like that's hard to do.
I never said I could do that accent well. What accent can you do well, huh, Jack?
Southern.
Oh yeah. You know what? Where's that place that you're from?
Chattanooga.
Saint.
Oh, Saint Thomas. I cannot.
Let's hear it. No, let's hear it.
We already went on a podcast about this.
Bullshit. Let's fucking hear it.
I can maybe say some words, but like not.
Nope. Give me one sentence.
Mino.
The fuck?
You know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Know. No, I don't. Yeah. Oh, that's what you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and no.
That's not English.
That's English. That's Caribbean.
I picked it up.
Have you heard him say that before?
No.
I rarely say it anymore.
Say, I'd like a beer, please. Or say, like, you know, order a drink.
My first thought was Spanish. That's really bad.
Quiero una cerveza.
Una cerveza.
Yeah, wrong language.
I think that was right, anyways.
That's not an accent, that's a language.
Hey, Spanish has an accent.
Yes, but Spanish itself is a language. There's a Spanish accent, but Spanish itself is a language.
I'd like a beer. No, I'd fuck it up so bad, dude.
Have you ever tried doing a different accent on a different language? So I do this all the time.
I've actually never thought of that.
Tried to do a British accent in Italian, and I can't even do a British accent in English.
Hold on.
13,
let's hear your Italian,
work.
And then try the British, and then I want to do Spanish with a country accent.
I want to judge your country accent, by the way.
Ma che cazzo vuoi con questo?
That's awful. Okay, Zach.
Vaffanculo, testa di merda.
It wasn't even in a British accent.
No, he was doing his Italian first, so we know what it is.
Oh.
Now let's hear the British accent on the Italian.
I can't fucking do a British accent. Let me see if I can... Let's see if I can do it with an Australian accent. Vaffanculo, testa di merda.
See, isn't it amazing?
That was bad.
I mean, I just
that was real bad.
I just told you to go fuck yourself, shitheads.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right.
Now think of like a thick country accent and try and say something in Spanish.
Hold on, hold on. I want to hear your country accent first, and I'm going to judge it.
Oh, I can't.
You can't do one.
What's a country accent? Who's, you know, I don't know.
Okay, do the stereotypical Southern accent.
What do you say? Plug me some lines.
America.
America.
Okay, that's not at all how it sounds.
Order a beer.
I've never lived in the South. You're the one that's lived in the
South.
Okay,
well, if you're going to say I can do a country accent and like...
I was going to make fun of two different cultures.
In one, I know. I know that you were going to... That's the most Southern thing you can do, yeah.
All right? Hola. Donde está?
Hey, you gotta thicken up the accent.
Thicken up the... Let's hear it. All right.
Donde?
What?
Donde?
Donde?
Donde está?
Donde está?
La biblioteca?
That's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Uno, teco, por favor.
You also got to realize that the South has many accents.
Such as?
Southern Belle?
Have you ever heard Ed Orgeron hold a press conference?
Well, think of it.
Please do.
Okay, so you have the hick accent, right? The straight hick. You kind of pronounce everything behind your teeth. Right?
Look,
you got your pen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was a good one, actually.
Then you have the Southern Gentleman, or the Southern Belle.
I'll say.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, it's a little bit more breathy, right? Like, so anytime I have to do, like, a Southern Gentleman accent, I do, like, I mimic, what's that character on True Blood?
Bro, give me some Peach Skull, or we'll get real country in here real quick.
Peach Skull. Mm.
So good.
I never liked that. I just, again, oh, smoking cigarettes is for men.
So. Are you saying that
chewing tobacco gives you equal cancer?
Equal cancer? Yeah, it gave Tony Gwynn cancer.
Yeah.
R.I.P., dude.
Oh my God! So one time, this little girl in treatment, that's
whoa,
whoa, that sounded so bad.
Oh my God!
She was 19. I did not sleep with that woman.
I did not have sexual relations. President, former President Bill Clinton had a great Southern gentleman accent.
Yeah. So I was having a chew one day, and she goes, "I want to try that." And at the time, I wasn't doing something nice like Peach Skull, which is like Tutti Frutti. I was on a.
Okay, wait, hold on. You're gonna get angry at my claim that cigarettes are for real men, where I kind of disclaimed Peach Skull, and then you just claimed it was Tutti Frutti.
Peach Skull is amazing and delicious. Point blank. Period.
I like
for all
it.
Our listeners out there, never argue with stupid. It'll beat you with experience every time.
So you know. Chocolate bubblegum is the conversation we're having.
Exactly.
And I was chewing Copenhagen Long Cut. And not straight, because straight definitely is sweet. I'm talking just OG Copenhagen Long Cut.
So like real man shit.
Yeah. Put some real, you know, hair on your chest.
Asshole. Real man shit.
It's amazing. And the fish love it when you're fishing. Oh. But she goes, I want to try it. So I give her a little baby lip. And she puts it in. She didn't understand how to keep it there.
Mm-hmm.
And it got all in her teeth and all in her mouth, and she swallowed some of it, and she tried to spit it out. And, like, I can't remember if she puked or not, but it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. You guys ever watched a girl try and pack a lip for the first time?
No.
No.
Dude, my first time...
I haven't really met a whole lot of people who've chewed, so...
Really?
Yeah. No, there's a shit ton of our friends chew.
Yes. But it's fairly recent for me.
Dude, my first time in treatment, we chewed so much tobacco that... One of my friends made a coffee table just out of cans.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Right? Yeah. How country is country? Hold on. So let's hear your country accent. With the
I was doing it.
All right.
He was doing it well. Don't they?
Habla no mas, S.A.
Habla no mas.
See, idioms don't work like that. I say that one all the time, though. I love it. Habla no mas. Say no more.
We want to get into some of our subjects.
I know it's interesting because I could slip in and out of a Southern accent for most of my life. Actually, I really didn't think I had a Southern accent until I moved to the Caribbean. some people pointed it out. I was like, oh. Because, like,
I mean, maybe that.
I grew up with friends who had, like, thick Southern accents.
Lay it on me, slick.
Like, there was this kid I went to middle school with named Creighton.
Wow.
His name was nice. Creighton.
Like the university?
There's a university named Creighton?
Yeah.
Where?
Creighton basketball.
Oh, Creighton basketball.
Yeah. I don't know.
His name was Creighton Campbell. All right. And this kid had, like, the thickest, most stereotypical Tennessee accent ever. And there's another guy named Jess.
Wait, let's hear it.
I don't even know how I could do justice. I mean, he was like 13. It's going to be high and squeaky.
It's fine. It's fine. I want to hear it.
I'm like, hi, my name is Creighton Campbell.
Creighton Campbell.
He was a real, funny dude. And then there was a guy named Jess Souther. And he had more of that, like the Colonel Sanders accent. He was down from Dalton, Georgia. Oh, man.
Dude, the best two children's names I've ever heard. So my little brother's 7 years younger than me, and he had these two friends when he was growing up named Colt and Ruger.
Colt and Ruger?
Name was Colt, and the other one's kid name was Ruger.
Were their parents Smith and Wesson?
No. That would have been amazing.
Pretty good. I grew up with a couple kids named Colton.
Colt, yeah.
Colton.
Colton?
Colton. Colton. Okay, here's the true test of how well your Southern accent is. Say the word oil in a Southern accent.
Oh.
Chuck, you got a good Southern accent?
It's pronounced money.
Money. That's pretty good. I do a great Southern
accent.
Let's hear it.
Hey, man, get a good old over there in a bucket, and we're going to go down south and get some current roof.
Real tight.
And I got my sleeves and my shirt. I cut off my sleeves and my shirt. And I use my sleeves for a hat. I'm going to do it in a truck. And I'm going to get in a truck. And I'm going to get a crawdad. Yeehaw.
At least you said crawdad.
Roll Tigers.
Roll Tide. Oh, that was great. How would you say oil in a Southern accent?
I don't know. I don't actually do a Southern accent.
Let's hear it.
Oil?
That's pretty good. Is it like O Y O oil?
It's oil.
Oil. Like coal.
Oil. Not oil. Coal. Oil.
Oil.
All right. So what were the questions we had from Matt from Gary, Indiana? By the way, there is no Matt from Gary, Indiana. I just made that up.
All right. Well, then we will talk shit about Gary. So there was, how many meetings do you have to attend a week in your first year? What was a breaking point you had in your early sobriety?
Breakthrough.
What was a breakthrough?
Breakthrough.
No, he read it correctly.
Matt from Gary, Indiana is not good at writing. What was a breakthrough you had? Sorry. What was a breaking point you had in your early sobriety?
What? Let me see. Did I pull a Zach?
Yes.
Hold on. What did Matt from Gary, Indiana say? Matt says, what was a breaking point you had in your early sobriety? Come on, Matt. Get it together. Idiot.
And what was your experience with step one?
So I like the step one question.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know, step one, admit you were proud. God, you just made me stutter so hard, you son of a bitch. Oh my God. Fuck you.
Step one, Zach, is as the following.
Admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable.
We just shining twinned right there.
Perfect. Like 2 seconds before this goddamn podcast.
Join us. No, you're not part of the shining twins. It's not the shining triplets, Zach.
The shining twins were the same size.
So what about step one, guys?
I'm so upset with myself. The one of the episodes, the most recent episode up at the time of this recording, which obviously won't be. Anyways, episode 12 was the one where I talked about, like, being on the way to go pick up, and my sponsor was just like, what about tomorrow? And that was what we did. We, like, sat down, and, like, there was, like, list of all the ways your life is powerless, list three ways you're powerless over alcohol, list three ways your life is unmanageable, and then it's sort of as an add-on to that after this episode where I almost got high after running into my dealer, was he literally had me sit down and write, like, just write out your life as if you got high today. Write out going and getting high. Write out what your life would look like tomorrow and write out what your life would look like a week from now. And that was like, I don't know, that was super enlightening and super
kind of... I might take that into a group, dude.
Yeah, I found it when I was cleaning out my shit after I moved into my now fiance's place and was like...
Is it good, the light like that? I wasn't trying to stop everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, I reread it and it was like probably more so than the lists I had made. It was like the most... like concrete example of like powerlessness and unmanageability, because it was just like having to write out the next day and the next week and I think maybe even the next month was like, fuck, I'm gonna be in exactly the same spot I am now but worse. And like that just like kind of hammered at home that like I'm powerless, I'm unmanageable, and I haven't really had to doubt step one since.
So I feel like you really jumped into it there and you got some things that I want to comment on. First off, I am a firm believer that step one is the only step that you have to get 100% correct, because you have to believe it.
It's the only one you have to even do. And that's an honesty
piece. Yeah. That's like a huge...
No, I think we all agree on that.
Yeah. But like, defining... How do you define powerlessness and unmanageability prior to your knowledge now?
I mean, I don't think I did. Exactly.
It's difficult. Yeah. Those aren't words that I was comfortable with before.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd kind of come to terms with the powerlessness. I came to terms with the powerlessness before I came to terms with the unmanageability. At a certain point, I was like, I have a problem, but everything's still fine, so fuck it. I'm going to just keep doing this. And it was when it started to creep in that, like, everything's not fine, and now I can't do anything to stop it. That was what got me sober, ultimately. It was sort of like... But yeah, once those two things, it was like I had no concept of them except for maybe intrinsically. And then like when I got into the rooms and someone laid out the terms, it was like, oh, this is what I've been struggling with for
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the, a lot of people make the, I've heard a lot of speakers make the distinction of like step one is two parts. First part being your powerlessness over alcohol, which is completely a separate thought because there's a hyphen, that our lives have become unmanageable. Like, just because you stop drinking doesn't mean your life is suddenly manageable again.
Right? Yeah, true. And, that's a fact.
In fact, it might even become more unmanageable.
So much more unmanageable over the first 6 months. Yeah. I didn't have anything to, like, hide behind. I didn't have anything to, like, suppress feelings and emotions.
My one thing where it was like, as long as I have this, everything's okay, I didn't have anymore.
I live with that honesty piece now, because if I don't automatically correct myself when I lie, like, I feel, like, a certain amount of shame. But, like, you're 100% correct that your life can be completely unmanageable in sobriety.
What was your experience with step one, Zach?
Which time?
The time it worked.
Yeah.
The time it worked. So, my sponsor was someone at... Okay, so... 2 years, 11 months ago, I got...
Are you coming up on 3 years?
I'm coming up on 3 years.
Holy shit.
My sponsor was not only one of my best friends, but somebody that I really admired in the program. At the time, he had 3 years off gambling and like 17 years off drugs and alcohol. So, I picked him with the intention of finding another sponsor because I was friends with him. And then his knowledge of the book and how to take me through the steps... is what kept me. And he was my sponsor for the first year and a half. And this asshole, he made me do powerless and unmanageability, the same lists, but instead of three, I had to do 10 examples of powerlessness and unmanageability in my addiction and then in my relapse. I can't remember. I need to find my step work. But like, he had me do two sets, so I had to write 40 things, not 20 things. I had to do I think I had to do it like in my sobriety before my relapse and then during my relapse. I think that one's right. That was a pain in the ass.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I learned that I was a really dry alcoholic the first time around, which I already kind of knew, but like seeing it on paper makes that shit real. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And like, I really learned that I'm powerless over other people's opinions, you know, places, institutions, and things.
I had a little bit different of an experience. My sponsor had me He just had me write a list, one list, and he said, just write down everything that drugs and alcohol have made you do. And I wrote down...
gay porn. Sorry.
No, never got into gay porn, even with all the amphetamines. I never got into it. the thing was is that my sponsor had... I just wrote down everything that came to me. Like, all I got kicked out of school, blah, blah, blah. I got, you know... I woke up naked on an airplane, you know, shit like that. And I did, probably the top 20 things that had happened to me, right? And I was really, really, really freaking out going to the meeting that night. And I had to read it to my sponsor before we went into the meeting. And I was freaking out. The tech who was driving me was laughing at me. And he's like, dude, your sponsor's not going to care. Don't worry about it. And I was like, but to me, it was like I'm reading. And this was, looking back, this was nothing like my first four step. Like, this was just kind of the highlights of, like, the top, like, it was like the Criterion collection, right? That's his thing, right?
From, yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of culture and movies.
Yeah, yes. Don't ask me how to spell that word.
And so I just gave him the top 20, and I was so nervous reading it to him. I think I was shaking. My hands were shaking. And my sponsor.
Did you say you were discouraged?
No, that was a thing that came in later. Oh. And, yeah. And what happened was, is I read it to him. My sponsor just, like, without missing a beat, just went, huh, no felonies? And, like, two things happened. One, it, like, kind of broke the, like, the tension that
took
I was building.
Away.
The exact took the power away. But yeah. At the same time, I was like, oh, shit, do I need to have a felony to...
Yeah, it's exclusive felons club.
Yeah, it's exclusive felons club. And my sponsor's like, look, I didn't get caught either. Don't worry. And like, and that was the beginning of it. Like, you know, that was like the first step. And, you know, then he asked me a really difficult question. And he said something I was not ready to hear. He said, the three words were all dreaded. We all dread to hear. It was, are you done? Mm-hmm. I was like.
That's
honestly,
such a loaded question.
It's such a loaded question. I had no idea how to answer that. I was like, I literally just didn't know. I didn't say anything.
And I had so like, much fear around that question.
Oh, yeah. I asked my sponsees now, and I watched them just
wiggle. Fuck that question.
Writhe. And especially if I have a sponsee that's like relapsed multiple times, they're like, yeah. Don't fucking ask me that question. I'm like, all right, man. Like, and so my sponsor.
See, and they have that reaction because if they answer honestly, they're not.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's
course.
What, yeah. And that's what scared the shit out of me because, like, I want to be honest 100%, but, like, what if I relapse?
And Jack was over here having had one beer on his last drink and being like,
ah! So fucking lame. Yeah. Forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that resentment back up. And so what happened was, I went and he asked me to write another list. He's like, all right, like, if you don't know if you're done, write another list. Write a list that says of all the reasons why you should keep drinking. And I was very confused. I was like, okay. So I went and I wrote this list at Westchester Library. And
name drop. Sorry.
I mean, that's all I could. I was the only place I could go. Like, I didn't have any money. Yeah. I'm like, so I went to the library.
Donde está la biblioteca?
Exactly. It was across the street
yeah.
from my sober living. And I wrote this list, and my first three things on there were like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. everything will work out if you have a beer in your hand. Like, just, like, stupid shit
like
that.
My team lost. My
just
team
like
won.
Just, like, Bud Light commercial slogans.
And,
it's alcohol abuse to pour one down the sink.
Yeah.
And country songs.
Yeah,
and,
country songs.
She should have two black eyes at all times.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Country songs.
And, and in that moment, I had, like, a realization that, like, I saw my... I joke about this in the meetings now, but, like... I watched my short life of 22 years at the time flash before my eyes, and I realized that everything that had happened to me, horrendously, like bad things that happened to me in the last 7 years, all had one common denominator in them, and it was me. Mm. And in that moment, I realized I couldn't lie anymore at that point. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
God damn it. And I went and I called my sponsor, and I was like, dude, I'm done. And he was like, cool, let's move to step two. That's my step one.
I really
one
like
story.
That story. So I didn't have that feeling the first time because I had an understanding of like alcoholism and where I went wrong. But I didn't have that realization until I did it with my second sponsor who literally made me do it in my big book. So like if you open up my big book to this day, the first
page
flap
Yeah.
The inside of the cover?
The inside of the cover on that first page. It has my will versus God's will.
Oh, that's cool.
And when I'm living in my will, I'm dishonest, I'm a liar, I'm a cheat, I'm a thief, I'm a criminal. And then in God's will, you know, I'm loving, compassionate, honest, helpful, you know? And so I had to figure out how to align my will with God's will.
Honestly, that sounds like something I should do.
I mean, look, it's a great reminder when you open the big book to see that. But, like, you know, when I'm trying to manage my addiction, I'm living in self-will.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, when I'm living the sober, responsible, honest lifestyle that we strive for on a daily basis, I'm not going to do those things. You know what I mean? I'm not going to cheat because I was cheated on. I'm not going to steal because... You know, I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but
okay.
Yeah, I think we got it.
I think we got it.
What about what was a breaking point in you had in your early sobriety?
Ah, Matt, Gary, Indiana.
Fucking Matt.
Breakthrough in my early sobriety. Let me think. Matt, it's a difficult question you have.
I mean,
wait, hold on. Why are we just assuaging our way onto the second question?
Because clearly we're still going.
All right, but have you guys never done a first step in sobriety?
The first step in sobriety?
Not since that first one. I mean,
dude, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, my sponsor I remember complaining about certain things when I had about a year and a half, 2 years sober. And he said, why don't you just work the steps around it? Like, I had to work the steps around many things. I had to work the steps around dating. I had so much fear around dating and, like, resentments and a whole bunch of other stuff. And
yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
He's like, yeah, work the steps around it. Like, you're powerless over dating. Go from there.
All right, but see, that sounds like you're talking about situational.
No, and then what happened was it started with that. And by the time I got to the fourth step, it was just another layer of what I couldn't see from my first time doing it or the second time doing it. So, like, you know, I think I've shared this on the podcast before, but it took me, like, 3 or 4 steps to realize I was angry at my dad for dying.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I don't know if you've talked about that on here.
No, have I talked about it on here?
I don't remember.
Blake,
let us know in the comments below.
But yeah, so like I'm currently doing my steps over for the second time, I guess. And I guess it'd be the third, but like I didn't finish it the second time because I had to find a new sponsor. So with this sponsor, he's only known me sober. Well, I guess no sponsor, whatever. He asked me to do, I'm on step 4 right now with him, and for my first step, he had asked me, I want you to do it in your sobriety. What are you powerless over in your sobriety? What's unmanageable in your sobriety?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I did. That's what I had to do. Especially around years 2 and 3, which you're coming up on. So have fun with that.
I mean,
you're just going to be peeling back layers at this point.
Yeah.
I had to do them all over again after I got when I had about 2.5 years and none of you guys in my life to point out when I had bad ideas and I moved.
Yeah, you're pretty lonely your first 5 years, dude.
I know. I moved to Oklahoma because there was nobody in my life to be like, to live with some high school friends.
If you didn't do a geographic in your addiction, do it in your sobriety.
Yeah, that's what I did. And I stopped going to meetings for 2 months because meetings in nowhere, Oklahoma, was almost worse than no meetings. And I came back from that. And like, that was like the last time.
That's such horseshit.
No, I'm not saying they were worse. I'm saying they were really, really bad.
No. Yeah, you're definitely an excuse. Yes. You just were used to Westside LA, Santa Monica.
I was so spoiled.
Meetings.
Yes.
Take out the bullshit words. He saw an excuse and took it because he doesn't care about his sobriety.
Exactly. That's where you were at.
Well, I was going to say that was the last time in my life where drugs and alcohol have seemed like maybe a solution. Like, that's probably the last time I got close. And so when I got back from Oklahoma, my sponsor was like, yeah, you're going to do the steps again because you clearly haven't been working shit for like 6 months and you didn't call me when you were out there. So
nice.
Yeah,
dude, I didn't call my sponsor for like 2 weeks on accident. And he called me this last Monday and was like, hey, asshole, thanks for the calls. I was like, I didn't call you. He goes, yeah, I know. That's why I'm calling you. Actually, he didn't call me an asshole, but ad lib. See, rigorous honesty.
You're going to make it to 3 years, Zach. I believe in it. With your rigorous honesty.
Why do you have to put that on me? God willing, I will.
Did he just put pox on you?
He did. He just poxed me.
No, he was trying to humble brag his rigorous honesty, so I let him know that I believe in that he'll get 3 years.
All right. Well, do we want to answer the breakthrough in you had in sobriety and then go eat tacos?
Yeah.
Tacos.
Trying to think of a breakthrough I had early on in sobriety.
Well, I'm
I had so many. There's so many little ones. Like, I have a group that I run called the Top 10 Things I Learned My First Year of Sobriety, and they're mostly in metaphor, right? Like, I'll give you an example of one.
Can you do them in similes?
In similes?
Just add like or as.
Yeah. Actually, some of them might have like or as. Well, some of them might be similes. Like, I remember one time I heard really early on is I had last had like 4 months sober, and somebody said in the old VRC on Venice, they said, I'm really good at sprinting the first 50 yards of a marathon.
Oh, nice.
And I always thought that was really funny. That one. And he was like, look, I know how to get 89 days sober. I know how to get 90 days sober. But when I get to 91, I have no fucking clue what's next. So that's why I relapsed for 5 years going for 90 days, you know?
Yeah.
And,
that was a good one. I would love one of your groups.
Yeah. And like, and I also
guest speaker at one of your groups.
I think there's some HIPAA violations involved there.
I'll sign some HIPAA shit. Fuck it.
Yeah. Maybe I'll talk. But you know, I also go on to talk about how like if I get into something, I get really into it, and I go into it super quickly. I try and learn as much as I can about it. I overdo it, and I get burnt out of it. You know, and then the other idea of like I sprint until I'm burnt out, and then I never pace myself, right? I see a lot of guys do that in sobriety. Like, I see some guys go, like, 4 meetings a day. And then, like, which is not a bad thing, but, like, or, like, I see a bunch of clients sometimes they'll do, like, and sponsees, they'll put work before it. They'll, like, work 3 jobs and go to, like, a meeting a week, sort of. And they're like, why does my life suck?
Why do I feel like you're targeting me right now?
Is that what you're doing?
Dude, I have worked 6 days last week. I'm working 6 days this week. Yesterday, I worked 11 hours. I hate my life. I've already told my boss that I need time off.
See, no, but you're in the action though. You're like, hey, look, I need to take care of myself. I need some time off. Like, you're already in that. Like, most of my clients are like, I have so much money, but I just hate myself. Dude, why do I hate myself? Why am I so angry all the time?
I was so burnt out at work today. I legitimately told my coworker I need 5 minutes to meditate, and then I'm gonna smoke a cigarette and drink some coffee, and then we'll start the day over. I ended up not being able to do more than 30 minutes of the meditation because of the time I had to go do my job. So I didn't get to drink the coffee, smoke the cigarette, or do the meditation.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. But yeah, just little things like that. Like, there's not like one breakthrough I had that where it all made sense. It was like bits and pieces of it that fell through. Like,
give me another saying, because I really like that one.
My first slide that I talk about is... you know, I was in a sober living with a lot of college students, and we had this facilitator that would come in every Friday, and this one 19-year-old kid said, he asked a question like, you know, sometimes when I go hang out with my friends on campus, like, they seem to be able to have a few beers and stop. And he said, they seem to be able to take 1 or 2 Xanax and stop. And, like, yeah. So I'm like, why can't I do that? Like, sometimes I think, can I do this? And so the facilitator didn't really answer the question. He just responded. He asked another question. He asked, do you think Norwegians worry about going to the beach?
No. Not. Why would they?
And we all kind of looked at him like, well, what do you mean? He was like, well, think about it, man. Like, you're in the middle of winter. You think they're worried about going to the beach? You know, in December here, we can go to the beach, right? Yeah. It's just not on their radar. It's just not something they think about. Like, your friends who can take 1 or 2 Xanax and leave it alone and not black out for 5 days like you do.
They're Norwegian.
Sure. Yeah, they're Norwegian.
They're not thinking about just taking 1 or 2.
Right. They're not. They don't have that thought of, do I have a heroin crystal meth smoking, Xanax problem? Right. Like, maybe this time I can control it. Maybe this time it'll be different. Maybe this time I can just have one hit and leave it alone. Like, you know, for us, we don't have that. They don't. Yeah. Well, we have that. They don't have that. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like. We, like, Norwegians don't worry about the beach. My friends weren't worrying whether or not they had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
that makes sense.
To your point, it was like I had a similar experience when someone, I don't remember who, but just made the point of like, maybe it was just reading it, but it was like control and enjoy. And it was like, I can do one or the other.
Wait, say that again?
Control and enjoy. Control and enjoy your drinking. Control and enjoy your weed smoking. And I can do one or the other, but I can't do both.
Yeah.
And that was just like the moment of like, right.
Well, abstinence is a form of control, though. You can enjoy your life while controlling, you know, but, abstinence.
Sure, but like I can't control. I can't. Yes, but also like I can't control how much. Like no, I can no, control I how much saying. Pot I yeah, smoke. Yeah. Pot. What year is it? I can
Dude,
control,
you're so fucking old.
I can control how much weed I smoke, but I can't enjoy it. And I can enjoy how much weed I smoke, but I can't control it. And it was that was just like
that right. is a catch 22.
Yeah, and I was like, that was my moment of like, cool. I guess I'm just not able to do this.
So I hate to be that guy, but yeah. I feel like
you're a better addict than him.
No,
I can't. Sorry, I can't control how much heroin I shoot into my neck.
I
can control it, but
that.
I can't enjoy it.
Fucking guys. I feel like this entire conversation would be null and void if we don't bring up emotional sobriety.
What do you know about emotional sobriety? You're still a newcomer.
So
until you're five.
Until you're five, Zach. What do you know about
suck
it?
Suck thine.
Yeah, so let us know. Let us old timers. Bless us old timers with your knowledge.
Can I finish the sentence before you start criticizing it?
No.
I listened to your spiel about marathon running.
Yeah, and you loved it. And then asked me for another.
Hey, you know what? I'll call a spade, and that one was a spade. All
right.
But yeah, so like I heard this saying, and I can't remember when it was, but I heard this saying, you got to be a good host to your emotions.
Mm.
And, you know, sorry, but Jack, I'm about to call myself a man. As a man who grew up without a father.
Two fathers.
Without two fathers. Sorry, Jack.
Just getting the details correct.
You know, I had to figure out what being masculine or being a man meant to me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see men in movies cry. I didn't see men in movies have emotional sobriety. So today when I have conversations with people at my treatment center, my friends, newcomers, oldcomers, assholes, you know, I feel like that's a huge part that you need to talk about, because like everyone cries, everyone has emotions, everybody feels anxious, irritable, restless, and discontent at times.
The ability to cry came back to me, I don't know, 4 or 5 years into it, and I am so grateful for it. Now it might be a little much. Like, but like, I'll watch a movie and I'll feel myself start to cry at
The Notebook.
At some
every time
I bawled at The Notebook. That would not have happened at 2 years.
I love
years.
That movie.
Yeah,
crying over that movie is cathartic. But yeah, you know, like, but in the past, like, if I were to have that feeling that I was gonna start crying, I would try to suppress it, or I would do something, or I'd use over it, and I didn't allow myself that emotion.
It was like, but the only emotion you felt know, was anger.
Yeah, because that one is manly or whatever.
Yeah.
But now, like, if I have some type of emotion, whatever it be, happy, joy, or sad, crying, like, I can allow myself the freedom to have that emotional experience. You know what I mean? If I need to take 5 minutes to cry, I'm going to take 5 minutes to cry. You know, like, so I had a friend pass away, like, 3 months ago. And I was at work and I didn't want to be around the client. So I called my boss and I was like, hey, I need to go home. I just found out that my friend has passed away and there's another staff here. Everything, all the work is done. Can I leave? And I took that time and I went to my car and I cried and then I drove home.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow. What you got to say now, Jack?
You're a bigger man than me, Zach, physically and emotionally.
You mean literally and figuratively?
Oh, snap.
Yeah, physically and emotionally.
Can you slap him?
No, because I'm too short. My arms won't reach.
He'd ruin his shoulder again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have nothing else to say to that. That's very profound.
Did I just leave Jack speechless?
Yeah, you did.
I think so.
You did. I'm inspired.
Zach is...
I have no gas to throw.
Yes.
Success.
It's been documented now that Zach has left me speechless.
That will be the title of this episode.
Zach leaves Jack speechless. No gas to throw.
No That's gas it. To throw.
There you go.
That could be the follow-up to your Don't Chase the Arsonist. If you ever publish another book. Oh, my God.
All right, so I know that we're basically wrapping it up here. Did I tell you guys how I was so incredibly anxious today for like a good 25 seconds of just intense
just feeling like
freaking
me?
The fuck out? Yeah, I don't know how you deal with this, Anthony, but like...
Not well.
I got so goddamn anxious. So I stopped on my way home to buy a pack of cigarettes, and as I got back in the car... I, for some reason, put my Juul gang, I put my Juul in my right pocket, which I never do. And I freaked out and I had to pull the car over and I was looking for it. It wasn't on the seat. It wasn't on the floor. It wasn't in my pockets. It was in my right pocket.
It's in your right pocket. And then all was right with the world.
Yeah.
Mm. That sounds lovely.
Nicotine's a bitch.
Yeah. All right. So Jack is hungry. I'm assuming we're going to end this episode.
Yep. Yes. I also got like a huge piss.
Thank you, listeners, once again for listening to another episode of Wet Dad Podcast. If you want more entertainment, or questionable entertainment, as we like to call it, please check out our Patreon. Please give us money so we can buy more stuff for this podcast to bring you more questionable entertainment. Please also check out our email at wetdadpodcast@gmail.com. Please check out our Instagram, where we post all the wonderful, wonderful content that we have of Zach and his selfies at Wet Dad Podcast.
What Dad Podcast is brought to you by Unwritten Content, which provides content marketing and copy editing. I help people and businesses who are experts in their field express their knowledge in a way that is entertaining and informative.
What Dad Podcast is also brought to you by Keep Left Recovery, a sober coach and sober companion and counseling service located on the west side of LA. Keep Left Recovery specializes in helping young people embrace recovery and helps them tell the stories they did not know they had inside.
Helps you assuage through life.